Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
For those of you that's been joining us, you know we're in a teaching series called Mind Games. And in this Mind Game teaching series, we're talking about fighting and dealing with negative thinking. So today we're going to continue the message. For those of you that were with us last week, we're going to continue the message from last week. I wasn't able to get through the entire thing, so today I'm going to complete that message. And the subtitle is titled Fighting Negative Thoughts. Our text scripture from last week was out of the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, don't comply to the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's good, perfect, and acceptable will for your life. So throughout this series, we've been learning about the battle that goes on in our mind, the battle between negative thinking and positive thinking. So often in our lives, we tend to default to negative thinking, and we have to fight that negative thinking in our lives because it will actually dictate or it will determine the course of our lives. We've also learned that in this series that most of life's battles are either won or lost in the mind, and that it's almost impossible to have a positive life if you have negative thinking. So if you want to have a positive life, we have to have positive thinking. If you have negative thinking, then you're going to have a negative life. We also learned that the devil has built strongholds in our minds, one lie at a time, and that we need to tear down these strongholds that the devil has built in our minds. These strongholds that the devil has built, like I said, have been built one lie at a time. And what happens is those lies become so strong in our mind to where we will even fight and defend those lies because we have believed that them to be the truth. And so the way that we tear down strongholds is we have to identify what's the strongest strongholds in our lives that's holding us back, because you cannot fight a battle or you cannot fight an enemy that you don't know. If you can't see them, you can't fight them. So you have to recognize, you have to identify what's the strongest stronghold in your lives that are holding you back. And then after you identify those the strongest strongholds in your life, then you have to find or identify the truth that can tear down that stronghold. So the way you combat or fight those strongholds is you have to fight them with the truth, understanding that those strongholds are lies that the devil has planted so strongly in our minds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, it says, we are human, but we do not wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. These human reasoning and false arguments that we stand by were built on lies. And because they were built on lies that the devil has planted and placed in our minds, we have to fight those strongholds. But the way you tear them down, like here it says in the scriptures, is we use God's mighty weapons to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and false arguments. So on that, we're going to go ahead and say a prayer and continue on with our message. So Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. And Father, we thank you for allowing all of us to see another day, to be able to worship you, to bless you, to love on one another. Lord, we thank you for another beautiful day. As I say, and I have been saying for so long, another one. You have blessed us with another beautiful, sunny Sunday morning. I don't know what the weather is like in other places of the world, but I know right here it's beautiful, it's sunny. And Father, we thank you for another day that we can come together and just to worship you. Lord, we ask that you take your word today and plant something in our hearts and our minds and our understanding that will help us to be better people. It's in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So like I said at the start, that we are continuing with this message from last week, which is called Fighting Negative Thoughts. So we're in part two of this part four lesson, which is Fighting Negative Thoughts. And we talked about reframing our thinking. Remember, I shared a picture with you guys, and I'll share with you, for those of you that are looking at your screens, I shared a picture with you all. And what happens in our lives is we tend to frame our thinking to see certain things. And so if you were to look at this picture right here, you would see some clouds, some kind of dark clouds or whatever. But these pictures, this picture right here, if you frame your thinking toward the negative or to the cloudy or to the dark side of things, then it will have an impact on the decisions that you would make. So if you stepped out of the house on a particular morning and this is what you saw, it may cause you to make a decision to run back in the house and get an umbrella, get a jacket, get some rain boots, or, you know, you will prepare yourself for a stormy, gloomy day. It may even begin to impact your attitude, your whole mood. You know, you may feel like, man, it's going to be a gloomy day today. Man, it's going to be a soggy day today. Man, you know, it just may impact your entire mood. But that very same picture, if you was to frame that picture on this image right here, then you might step out of the house and you might be like, oh, today is going to be a beautiful day. The sun is shining and what have you. It's going to be a beautiful day. You might get a light jacket or no jacket at all. And it may change your whole mood. But the reality is that the entire picture is very relevant. But what happens in our lives, because of the lies that the devil has planted us and because of the negative thinking in our mind, what we tend to do is we will go to the gloomy side of things. This is how we would frame a particular day, or this is how we would frame a particular situation, as opposed to framing it in a brighter light. And so it's very important for us. And one of the things that we can do to reframe or to fight this negative thinking is to reframe our thinking. Instead of running to thinking about the negative so quick, find the light in a situation and reframe it. So today what we're going to do is I'm continuing talking about fighting negative thinking, but I want to give us three things to help us to reframe our thinking so that when we're in this battle against negative and positive thinking, and when negative thinking is winning, then we want to make sure that we can win this battle and overcome the negative thinking. The first thing that we want to do in order to fight negative thinking, to help us to reframe our thinking, that is thank God for what did not happen. When we find ourselves in situations, and you know, every situation we can't control, but we do have some control over our thinking when we're in different situations. You know, like this picture right here, we may not be able to control this image right here, but we can control what we focus on. We can control what we think about. If we want to think about the dark side of it, we can think about this dark and the negative side. If we want to think about the more lighter side of it, we can do that. It's up to us to frame it. And so what we want to do is we want to frame our thinking. And one of the things that you do, the very first thing that you can do to frame your thinking, is to think about what did not happen, or thank God for what did not happen. Things could be a lot worse, but they are not. So I remember last year, my daughter Tia, she was in a car accident. And I think Tia's still on here. So I'm talking about you today, Tia. She was in a car accident last year. And I think it was like 5 o'clock in the evening or something like that. And I get a call from Tia. She was very panicked, you know, was in a car accident. So I ran right out to her really quick. It was just down the street. And, you know, I'm looking at the car, you know, her car, and it was smashed. The driver's side door was smashed. The door behind the door behind her on the driver's side, both doors on her side, smashed. I mean, so she took a direct hit at full speed, okay? And I see the car and I'm like, oh my gosh, Tia's hurt. You know what I'm saying? This is a bad, all the airbags deployed and everything on the truck. And so we get there, we're assessing the situation. Tia's fine, you know, she got banged up. She had some scrapes on her arms or whatever, you know, she got banged up pretty bad. The guy that ran into her, he was banged up pretty bad. And, you know, he was bleeding, his arm was bleeding, and, you know, he scraped up pretty, you know, pretty bad. And, you know, both of them, of course, got their just banged up. And so I immediately, one of the things that we started doing is we started making sure everybody's okay. You know, the paramedics showed up on the scene, the police showed up on the scene, and And so as we were there trying to assess the situation, trying to take care of and get things going, there was a couple of times where Tia is kind of getting into a little argument with the guy that she had the accident with. And because he's on the phone talking to somebody, you know, and he's saying this and saying that, and Tia can hear some of the stuff that he's saying. And she's like, no, that's not, you know. So I'm like, look, Tia, no, we're not going to get into no argument with this dude over here on the side of the road, you know. And then even with that, Marguerite was kind of walking around. She was like the private investigator, or she was like the crime scene investigator. She wasn't even standing. I'm just trying to keep Tia standing on the curb out the way, let the police do their job. Marguerite walking around the whole thing, walking around all the cars and everything. I'm like, you way over there on the side of the street somewhere. What's over there? You're like, I'm just, you know. She was like the crime scene investigator. So anyway, she was trying to look for some evidence. This is what it looked like to me. She was looking for evidence to back up Tia's argument about the whole situation, what was going on. Well, to me, you know, it was clear that Tia was in the fault. Tia pulled out in front of this guy and he smashed her, but that wasn't the point. The point was, and I was glad that she was okay. I was glad that he was okay. And instead of getting into an argument with this guy or anybody else, let the police do their job. Let the paramedics do their job. And I told Tia, I said, listen, Tia, we have insurance, okay? So we don't have to argue with this guy about anything. It's not a question about who's at fault and all this stuff, whatever. It doesn't matter. All this stuff doesn't matter. What matters is you safe, he's safe, he's okay, okay? We got insurance. We'll let our insurance deal with him. If there's any arguments, we'll let the insurance company deal with that. We'll let them handle it. That's what we pay them for, okay? So let's just sit over here on the side, let the police do their job, let the paramedics do their job, and so forth. And so here's the deal. This was a bad situation. You know, we all find ourselves in bad situations, you know, and it's so easy for us to really focus on the negative of those bad situations. And this was a bad situation, but it could have been worse. It could have been a lot worse than what it was. You know, I was thankful that Tia was not seriously hurt, because by looking at the car, you would think that she would have had some broken bones, a serious concussion or something. You would think that she would have needed to take a ride to the hospital, you know, but I was thankful that she wasn't seriously hurt. Looking at this guy, you know, he was hurt more than Tia was. He had more scrapes on him than Tia did. He had more, some places on him that he was bleeding, you know, more than Tia was. And he took a direct hit as well. He ran smack into her, but I was thankful that he wasn't wasn't seriously hurt more than what he experienced, you know. I was thankful that the police and the paramedics was present when this happened. I was thankful that they were there because they can help control the situation. You know, the police were there to control the situation, but the paramedics, they was there to make sure that everybody was okay. So I was thankful that they was there. I was thankful that we had insurance. I was so thankful that we had insurance, because actually just a couple weeks before that, I was actually considering taking the insurance, or actually not taking it completely off, but changing the insurance to the bare minimum on Tia's vehicle, because it was paid off for one, you know, and we was in the process of trying to get rid of it. But I was like, man, I'm so thankful that I didn't, you know, change the insurance to something. I did change it a little bit, but I didn't change it like all the way to the bare minimum. And I was thankful, you know, that we had good insurance. I talked to the insurance company, and they said to me, Mr. Fitzpatrick, you know, we're going to take care of him. We're going to take care of him. He's filing for physical injury. You don't have to worry about it. We're going to take care of wherever his physical injuries are, blah, blah, blah. So so bottom line, they told me, don't worry. We'll take care of everything. Have a good day. And that was the last that I heard of them. And they took care of everything. I was thankful that we had good insurance. Things could have been a lot worse. And so one of the things that we need to do to help to reframe our thinking when we find ourselves in certain situations, when we find ourselves in these bad situations, is think about God's goodness. Think about, as I said before, number one, thank God for what did not happen. I thank God that neither one of them was seriously hurt. There's so much in that situation that I thank God for. And so we need to thank God for what didn't happen, because things could have been a lot worse. Number two, helping us to reframe our thinking when we're in this battle of negative thinking versus positive thinking. Number two thing that we can do is to practice reframing, or should I say, pre-framing our thinking. Practice on pre-framing our thinking. If it's within your ability, and everything is not within your ability, but if it is within your ability, decide on how you're going to think about a situation before actually engaging in it. So you know you're about to go into a situation. Make a decision on how you're going to think about it before you actually go into that situation, before actually engaging in that situation. This is important because our thoughts will have an impact on how we engage that situation. If we go into the situation with negative thoughts, then it's going to impact us in reacting and responding in our decisions, everything in a very negative way. But same thing on the opposite. So say you're going to a family gathering. We've all been there before. Say you're going to a family gathering and you find out that there's one person that's going to be there at the family gathering that you have unresolved issues with. There's this one person that you got this huge situation with, and you just really don't want to be in that person's presence. You know, you'll go into that situation, you find out beforehand that this person is going to be there. And then you already start thinking about, or you already start pre-framing your thinking. The relationship breakdown is not a good situation at all. You know, you start thinking, I don't want to go. I don't want to go to this family gathering because that person is going to be there. You know, you like, if I go, there's going to be some problems. We know some of us, you know what I mean? We just can't let it go. If I go and I see this person, it's going to be some problems. You know, if they even look at me wrong, if they just look at me if they look at me wrong, I'm going off. If they look at me wrong, I'm saying something to them. You know, you have already framed your thoughts about the situation before it even happened. You've already framed your thinking before it even happened. You know, how about this? How about if we practice pre-framing our thoughts in a positive way as opposed to a negative way? So the reality is we already pre-frame our thinking. We already do it. So in order to fight this negative thinking, we need to work on pre-framing our thinking in a positive way, because we already pre-frame it in a negative way. Say, you know, when you go into this family gathering, there's this person there that you got an issue with, and it's an unresolved issue, and it's a bad situation. How about this? Say, I'm going to be on my best behavior. I'm gonna go to this event, we're gonna have a good time, and I'm gonna be on my best behavior. You know, say this right here. Say that maybe today is the day that this situation gets resolved. It's been unresolved for a long time, and we've been avoiding each other for a long time, and it's just not getting any better. Maybe today is the day that this situation gets resolved. You know, or I'm not going to ruin this event with our personal situation, with our personal issue. We're going to go. We're going to have a great time. And I'm not going to mess this event up because I have a personal issue with somebody that's going to be there. So I'm going to do what I can to stay cool, be cool, and just avoid the whole problem. Or maybe things will be just fine. Maybe they're going to be okay and it won't be a problem. There won't be an issue at all. You know, so what we need to do is to practice on pre-framing our thinking. Like I said before, we already pre-frame our thinking, and a lot of time we do it towards the negative. We need to practice on pre-framing it toward the positive. Some of you are pre-framing your failures before you even get there. You've already pre-framed your thinking into a failure situation, into failure thinking, and you haven't even gotten there yet. You haven't even made it to that place yet, but you already pre-framed your thinking into failure. You're already defeated before you even got started. Practice preframing your thoughts will help to impact how you engage in a situation. The third one is this, tools to help us to reframe our thinking. The third one is this, look for God's goodness. We need to look for God's goodness when we're in different situations. You know, we all have situations, we all have the problems that we face in our lives. You know, I remember one time, and I'm sure I've shared this with you before, and Marguerite and I was in a financial situation, and we sat down with a financial advisor. We were trying to get a house. We were living in a duplex at the time, and we got two young kids, and we're down to one vehicle, and both of us working full-time jobs, you know, and it was like we needed help, and we needed more space, and we needed another car. I mean, we just there was stuff that we needed. So we sat down with a financial advisor, and we was like, okay, look, we're trying to get into a house. You know, we got to make some changes, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So what do we need to do? And he said, okay, I'm going to help you guys out. I'm going to look at your finances. He said, but I need y'all to show me everything, be totally 100% transparent with me. And he said, I'm going to put together a plan for you. And once I put this plan together for you, you guys are going to implement this plan without failure. He said, if you do that, then you will be successful and be able to get the house that you want. He's like, okay, cool. We did. And so after he looked at all of our finances, he called us back in. We sat down and we talked. He put together a plan for it. He said, hey, y'all make plenty of money. Y'all make enough money to get whatever type of house you want to get. He said, but y'all got a problem. Like, okay, what's the problem? He said, y'all like stuff. He said, we're going to get rid of the stuff. And once we get rid of the stuff, then we can move y'all forward into getting the house that you want. You know what? Life has this way of dealing stuff to us. It has this way of dealing stuff to us that we weren't even looking for, that we weren't even planning for. And sometimes it's our own fault, and sometimes it's not our own fault. You know, we got the stuff that goes on our jobs. We got the stuff that goes on in our families. We got the stuff that goes on with our kids. We got the stuff that goes on with that neighbor that you just can't stand. You know, we got the stuff that's going on with the political atmosphere that's going on, with the racial divide. We got stuff going on with the pandemic. There's so much stuff going on, and this stuff seems like it just keeps hitting us over and over and over and over again. And all of a sudden we see ourselves, you know, we already battle with negative thinking, but we find ourselves, because of all of this stuff, battling with negative thinking even the more. Well, guess what? Even when all that stuff is going on, there's still God's goodness in the midst of it. There's still God's goodness somewhere. So number three, look for God's goodness in the midst of all of that stuff that's going on. If you look for God's goodness, you will always find what you're looking for. If you look for the good, you will find the good. If you look for the bad, you will find the bad. If you want to see what's wrong every day, you're going to find what's wrong every day. If you want to see the best, you can. It's up to you. It's like the difference between a vulture and a hummingbird. A vulture flies around all day long looking for what? Looking for the dead. A vulture will fly around in 100-degree temperature all day long. No water, no nothing. I'm talking about arid conditions, hot burning up, sun blazing, and he's still out there flying around looking for the dead. But a hummingbird is much different. A hummingbird is flying around looking for that sweet nectar. The hummingbird is flying around looking for that beautiful, colorful bloom flower that's got a sweet nectar right in the center of it. And when he finds it, he goes for it. You know, you will always find what you're looking for. If you want to see what's wrong, what's bad, what's not working, you can live a really depressing life. But instead, if you look for God's goodness, you can find that God is still in the blessing business. He's still in the blessing business in spite of all of the stuff that's going on. You can find encouragement. You can find insight. You can find healing, answers, rejuvenation, rest. You can find peace when you look for God's goodness. All of these things can be found in the midst of the storm. In the middle of the storm, you can find these things. Remember last week, we talked about cognitive biases. And cognitive biases, it's a mistake in reasoning based on personal experiences or preferences. So often we make mistakes in our reasoning. And if we make these mistakes because of the experiences that we experienced in our lives or the preferences that we've developed over a period of time. You know, one of the things that we hear so often is about police. They they make these personal, they make this mistake in their reasoning. And they make this mistake in their reason based on their personal experiences or their preferences. And so often they end up treating people or mistreating people because of that mistake in their reasoning. They develop this cognitive biases. And, you know, we're all guilty of it. You know, sometimes in relationships, men and women, they deal with failed relationships, you know, over and over again, and they will develop these cognitive biases. Women will say all men are dogs, and men will say all women are bleep. And it's because of these cognitive biases that we have developed in our lives because of our experiences and because of our preferences, we make these mistakes in our reasoning. And so what I want to close on here today is that there's also, just like there's this thing that's called cognitive biases, there's also this thing that's called cognitive reframing. It's called cognitive reframing. Cognitive reframing, it's you empowering yourself to decide on the meaning of an event or a situation. You have the ability to decide on a situation or an event on how you're going to think about it. You have the ability to frame or to reframe your thinking. Cognitive reframing. So if you find yourself having framed something, a situation or event in a negative way, you have the ability to reframe it into a positive way. If you find yourself have framed it such as this, you have the cognitive ability to reframe it into something else. Cognitive reframing is empowering yourself to decide on the meaning of an event or a situation. It's allowing Jesus to help you to reframe your thinking. One of the ways that we allow Jesus to help us to reframe our thinking is seeking the truth. Because our negative thinking is developed or it stands on a lie. And so one of the ways that we tear down these strongholds of these lies that the devil has built in our mind is by using the truth to defeat it. And what better place can we find the truth than in Jesus Christ? So allowing Jesus to reframe our thinking is really, really important. Take control of your own thinking. Last year, we had a really, really hard year. We experienced a lot of things last year, you know, and so many churches and so many pastors, they struggled. So many churches, so many pastors, they dealt with a lot of hardships. You know, because of the pandemic, they lost their attendance, which in turn caused them to lose a lot of their membership. And that was troubling to a lot of churches. That was troubling to a lot of churches. When the pandemic first hit, many pastors were trying to figure out what to do. You know, since they couldn't have church, it was like, well, what do we do now? I had several pastors to reach out to me at the beginning of the pandemic, looking for some help, looking for some answers, because one of the things they saw that we were already online. They were familiar with me and my photography and videography business and producing videos and stuff. And they sought me out and they was like, hey, we need some help with video. We need some help with this. You know, we got to get online. We got to make some videos so we can communicate to our people and so forth. And they were trying to figure out, man, what do we do? We're in a shutdown right now because of this pandemic. What do we do? They were lost. They were struggling. You know, then shortly after the shutdown happened, we had the death of George Floyd, which heightened the racial tensions in our country. Many pastors were trying to figure out what to do with this whole racial tension situations that was created. And most of them didn't figure it out. Most of them got it wrong. And as a result of it, it caused even more division and separation in their churches. You know, George Floyd, when he was murdered, the whole country was affected or impacted by this. Even the world, there was different countries where people were standing in protest against the death of George Floyd. And so many pastors across the country and across the world even were trying to figure out, man, what do we do? The racial tensions now is just out of control. This situation has just brought it to smack us in the face. And what do we do? And so many pastors was trying their best to figure this thing out, trying their best to navigate through it, and they didn't get it right. And it caused even more division in their own churches. Then right after that, or even in the midst of that, what do we have? Then we got this, the probably in our lifetime, the worst political year, this presidential election. But some of us in our own lifetime, this was the last year was the worst political year that we've ever experienced before. You know, it caused even more division. It caused even more division on top of the racial division that we was experiencing. Then you throw the political division in, and guess what? Churches and pastors suffered. They suffered. They trying their best to deal with, you know, the pandemic and the shutdown, and they're trying not to lose their members. They're trying to maintain their members and keep them connected and so forth. George Floyd gets murdered. Now we got the racial tensions going on and people are separated. Division is going on. We're trying to keep them together, and that's a struggle. No. Now we got the presidential election. There's even more division, the political divide, you know, Republicans against Democrats, Blacks against whites, you know, employers against employees and doctors against everybody. It was like, what in the world is going on? And so many pastors felt like, man, this is the worst year ever in their entire ministry experience. You know, many of them, they're trying to figure this thing out and how to recover from this. And the sad thing is that some of them did not recover, and some of them are still trying to recover, and they're not going to. It's a bad situation. It's a real situation. You know, when I look over the year of 2020, there's a lot of bad things that I can think about that I've experienced, that we've experienced. As a pastor, as a husband, as a father, as a friend, and so on. There's so many things that we all can relate to in 2020 that we experienced, you know. And just to take a quick look back over my life in the year 2020, you know, I have to look for, I have to do my best. I can say that 2020 was the worst year ever, but if I look at God's goodness, I can find blessings after blessings. You know, one, my daughter Tia, she got into a bad accident. I mentioned that earlier. And she was unharmed, had a few scratches and bumps, you know, bruises or whatever. But for the most part, she was unharmed. And she got a new car shortly after that. She wasn't without transportation for a very long time at all. You know, a blessing. You know, right after that, my car got crushed by a drunk driver. It was parked on the side of, parked on the street. And thank God I wasn't in it. You know, if I had been in it, I could have got seriously hurt, you know. And shortly after that, guess what? I got a new car. I wasn't without transportation long at all, just maybe a few days or so. You know, thank God for good insurance. You know, the situation could have been so much worse. My daughter Tia, mentioning her again, she got a new job. And in the middle of the pandemic, in the middle of the shutdown, her getting a new job afforded her the ability to be able to get an apartment and move in with, you know, a couple of her friends. You know, and I'm thinking like, this is the shutdown, this is the pandemic, this is not the time to be making a move like this, but she did. She made a move in the middle of the pandemic, you know. Marguerite, my wife here, in the middle of the pandemic, she got a full-time job working in an IT school and teaching and helping students to stay on their path for certification completion. You know, in the middle of the pandemic, and while people were losing their jobs, she got a new job. She got a promotion on her job. Dion, my son Dion, he got a promotion on his job, which relocated him to Fort Worth, Texas. You know, he got a raise, they paid for his relocation, and he's in a great situation, you know. And on top of that, my daughter Nene, she moved to Memphis, and she's on a new journey in her life now. You know, I still have my business. And guess what? We still have the church. Things were really bad last year, but there was some really good blessings also. It's easy for us to see the worst in situations. You know, we can look back over 2020 and just see all the bad things, but look for God's goodness. When we look for God's goodness, we can see the blessings over and over and over and over again. When you're fighting, when you're struggling and you're battling with this negative thinking in your mind, look for God's goodness. You know, it's so easy for us to see the worst in situations. That's why it's so important for us to take control over our own thinking. We need to reframe our thinking. And I want to end with this scripture. It's the same scripture that I've ended for the last several lessons, and it's Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And it says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Our mind is a battlefield, and most of life's battles are either won or lost in the mind. If you want to change the direction of your life, change your thinking.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast on Facebook and YouTube next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.